Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello boys and girls, welcome to Atlantico Parsnips, and please enjoy the tale of the Siege of Mullins Cove. The year was 1966. 20 brave families were defending the last ferry point that still remained operative on the island. The final ferry from the mainland was due to dock in 1 hour, and the families had gathered together all their worldly goods ready to make their escape. Up above them, on Horseshoe Ridge, stood 100 or so of the laird's minions, many of them armed with curved, pointy sticks and hammers fashioned from sheep bones. The escapees were only armed with forthright expressions and the odd kitchen implement, such as a whisk and potato bashes. There was only one stony, slaggy path down from the ridge to the small jetty, and the escapees had drowned it in oil and lanolin to make transgression nigh unimpossible. It was a standoff that created remarkable tension and stress. Some of the younger lads and lassies shit their knickers to the very brim and had to be dipped in the sea to cleanse their distress. Younger babies were placed in fruit boxes and the lids nailed shut to soften the sound of their awful wailing. As the mainland ferry appeared on the horizon, the laird's army became restless and unsettled. The laird's attack foxes started to howl, and Hazel McFlurry, the laird's personal vicar, began to disrobe herself till she was stood naked at the top of the path. It was immediately apparent that she had plenty to spare. There was a mumbling amongst the villagers. The McFidgety brothers in particular became somewhat ornate in their attitude. "My God," muttered Hamish McFidgety, "have you ever seen that much spare tat in a rural environment?" "Never," answered Mick McFidgety. "There's so much additional tit on that lassie that the duvet could be hidden neath its promise."
"Turn away,"
commanded Lizzie McOatcakes, the leader of the escapees. "She's after your personal pipes." But it was too late. All the men among the escapees were now transfixed by the sight above them and started to crawl up the scree to gaze more closely upon Hazel's puddings, with their excited pipes banging against the oily rocks as they did so. As each one reached the top of the path, their faces and chests were pierced with the curved pointy sticks and their personal pipes deflated as they took their last breath. The last man to reach the summit was Mitch McFidgety, but he was no killed by the sticks or hammers. No, it was the sight of Hazel staring into his eyes that finished him off. For she had the face of Gemma Collins. The face of Gemma Collins! The face of Gemma Collins! So that was a Scottish, true Scottish tale from archives.
Yeah, that's a nice return of the Scottish tale there. Hello, Robert.
Hello, where are you? In your loft, in your basement?
I'm in my bedroom, where I now
You've got
record.
A bedroom?
I have a bedroom, yes.
I'd have thought you'd have just used your bedroom for storage of tinned foods, you know.
Well, I mean, there is that over there, but there's a bed area here.
Oh, I can see them. So it's bachelor's pro... Oh, that's them bachelor's mushy peas you've got.
Yeah, and some
tins
peck.
Of asparagus. Get you, Andy.
A little pyramid made up of tins of peck, which are past their best by date, but they're still all right.
Is that the ham peck?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good...
P-E-K.
P-E-K, quality ham.
I prefer it to Spam. I find Spam overrated and slightly bland.
They both keep your blood nice and thick, though, don't they?
Oh, you do. I mean, it's, as long as you eat the jelly that they come in, then you're all right. How you doing? Are you okay?
I'm okay, yeah. Actually, Andrew, you very rarely ask about me health these days, do you?
I wasn't asking about it then. It was just more of an overview of whether you're okay or not in general. But would you like me to ask about your health at this point?
No, forget it. I'm not bothered.
No, I will. I will, because you clearly do. How's your health, Bob?
Well, it's pretty good, Andrew.
Oh.
It's pretty good. Thank you very much indeed.
Pretty good,
I'm piling on the weight because I don't know if you're the same. This lockdown's changed me. I'm an indoors sort of character now.
I think I've become a hermit. I don't really feel any kind of desire to go out and, you know, mingle among people or socialise or anything like that anymore.
It's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
I think it'll change once the weather gets better and we get summer and all that. We can go out and frolic or whatever.
Have a lark about.
Did we used to frolic?
You didn't.
No.
You just waddle.
Yeah.
You waddle and fall.
You can't frolic with tits like this, can you?
Hey, I've got some questions from the wife here, Andrew.
Oh, that's nice.
Talking of waddling, she says, Andy, nice to speak to you.
Yes.
When you are waddling around Sunderland Town Centre and you see an enemy up ahead of you, do you change up to super waddle so that you can cover them in lung juices as you pass them?
It's an interesting question. I mean, first of all, I don't have any enemies.
Get out of it.
I don't have any enemies. I'm a well-regarded member of the community.
What, you get on with your neighbours and that?
Yeah, I get on with everyone, mate.
So when you move into your house, did you go round to your neighbours and say, all right, I'm the new resident?
No, of course I didn't.
Yeah, because it would frighten them, wouldn't it?
He came past the front of the house when I was affixing my new doorbell.
Yeah.
And we had a bit of a chat then.
When you say doorbell, do you mean a stick and an empty tin of peck?
It's a tin can, and you just shout into it, and there's some string, and it activates another tin can at the back of the house. Yeah, go on.
Is it true that you marinade your chicken wings in an old paint tin filled with your back sweat? That's a slightly rude question, but maybe you do.
It's a very personal question, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a very very accurate question, because yes.
You
yes,
do,
I do
that.
Do that, yes.
How do they taste?
Oh, fantastic. It's kind of like cannibalism, but that just...
I taste very backy, you know, like fully backy because of the back sweat.
It's an element of cannibalism, but that just improves the experience, I think.
I bet it's full of protein.
Are there any more of these? There are, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Andy, there is one more.
Right,
Andy, what's the earliest you have left the Stadium of Light before full time? Have you ever actually left before kickoff?
No, I left at half time once. At half time. We were 4-0 down against Aston Villa. So I just thought, fuck this.
And it's terrible, that, isn't it?
Went to the pub.
I did that at Bournemouth, 3-0 down at half time.
Away at Bournemouth.
Away at Bournemouth, thought, fuck it. I'll beat
Actually,
the traffic.
There was one time we were 3-0 down against your lot.
Yeah.
There were fans trying to leave. This is about 55 minutes, and the stewards wouldn't let them out. So they were fighting the stewards in order to gain their freedom. So that was quite something to see.
Peter Beardsley's been in touch, Andy. What do you think of that?
Nice. One,
he's done as one of his... Do you call them blogs or vlogs? Or
they're...
WAVs?
I think they're MP WAVs
something.
Or MP3s. They might be AAC. I'm not sure.
AAC?
Yeah.
MP Beardsley.
All right, Bob. I I'm just sat in my garden, you know, having a good stare at the grass here and the mud and the leaves and that, you know. About 5 minutes ago, a robin came and had a go at the peanut feeder, like, but when it spotted me, it just took a dump and flew off, you know, so... So the wife doesn't want me in the house at the moment, you see, Bob, so she does want me nearby, though, like, so I can fetch her eggs when she, you know, if she gets the munchies. I suppose I should probably tell you about what has happened. So I was just in the kitchen, cleaning up the wife's omelet pan with, you know, them squidgy, squidgy, rough, rough pads. You know them, but you know they're like squidgy, squidgy on the one side, and on the other side they're all rough, rough, rough. But sometimes yellow, green. Sometimes you get blue. I went, mine was yellow and green, squidgy, squidgy, rough pad. And there was a knock at the door, and the wife shouted through from TV room,
"John, fuck, and answer that. I'm watching last night's MMA fight, Bill. It's got Paddy Pimblett on it, and he's fucking choice."
The knock on the door got louder. I couldn't bear to be rude, like, and not answer, you know. So I said to the wife, "Listen, love, I promise I won't let whoever it is inside the house. I promise you that, like."
"You had better fucking not. If I miss Paddy Pimblett, I will lump you so fucking hard, your dirty face will end up looking like a slice of boiled fucking liver."
"Yeah, I promise, sir, I promise." So I answered the door, and to my surprise, it was Newcastle United manager, Mr. Eddie Howe. "Hello, Peter. How fucking lovely to fucking meet you, Squire. May I come in for a fucking chit-chat?" "Oh, hello, Eddie. A bit tricky at the moment. My wife's watching the fight, and you know, where they punch each other, then have a kiss and cuddle on the floor for a while, like, you know." "Oh, the fucking, the MMA fighting. I forgot that was on the fucking telly. Paddy Pimblett is fighting, and he is well fucking choice. I just, like, you know, I promised I'd leave her in peace, you know, the fight was over, like. I very much fucking understand, Squire. No fucking problem. What's a fucking ever? Perhaps we can have a quick chat here on your front fucking doorstep." No worries here. Absolute pleasure to meet you, Eddie. How are you finding your new job?" "Well, it's better than working down the fucking Jelly Deal warehouse or the Chatham docks. Ain't no fucking mistake. Oh, only just though, eh?" "Oh, fucking hell, Peter. I like the cut of your jib more and more as our time together fucking passes. So what I wanted to ask is that the club is trying to arrange a fucking fundraiser for this Ukrainian staff and that, and we wondered if you might agree to be a fucking host on the night." "As long as none of it's going to the Albanian fella next door, like, who keeps clambering around in my loft at night making noises like a baby bear." "Not a fucking chance. He sounds a right fucking wallop." "In that case, yeah, I'd love to. I bring my old joke book along, you know." Well, at that point, the wife shouted out,
"Will you fucking turn it down a notch out there, you fucking little gobsnut goblet? The Paddy Pimblett fight is about to start. Who are you talking to anyway?"
It's Eddie Howe, you know, Newcastle manager."
"Gorgeous Eddie fucking Howe, the choir boy. Well, invite him in, you gormless fucking clown."
So I took Eddie through to the TV room.
"Oh, hello, Edward. I must say, you're even more innocent and Christian in real life than you are on the fucking TV. Why don't you take a seat next to me on the fucking sofa? Peter will remove the ointments and bandages."
"That's very fucking kind of you, Mrs. B. I hear you're watching the Paddy fucking Pimblett fight. I love him. He's as choice as they fucking come."
Oh, he's my type of fucking guy. A stark contrast to that useless strip of peach water I had the misfortune to fucking marry in.
You're quite a fucking joke box, my fucking darling. Oh, look here. Here comes Penny Pimlet. Let's wish him all the fucking best in his fucking endeavours there in his cage.
Here, fucking here. Now, Peter, can you disappear into the fucking garden or something so me and Eddie can enjoy the fight without your jeery fucking face to divert us?
Oh, yeah, of course, my precious love. Would you and Eddie like some eggs and bovril before I go?
No, but be on hand if I change my fucking mind.
So, here I am, Bubbly, out in the garden, whilst Eddie and the wife watch Paddy Pimlet. Oh, look, there's that robin back again. Oh, no, he fucked off. So, I might count gravel between the two pavers and make a note of it in my staring book, like. Which reminds me, I might as well read out a couple of jokes from the old joke book, you know, just to pass the time, so... Oh, hold on, it's Eddie at the back door. Right, come off, Peter. I'll send you details of a fucking fundraiser. So all the best with your fucking future plans and good fucking luck with that war for yours. Oh, she wants an omelette tower with scramblers on the sidebar the fucking way. Thanks, Eddie. See you soon. Right, Bob, so back to the old joke. So just out the old joke book and that. Here we go. I met my wife on the net. Yeah, we were both shit trapeze artists. Hey, Bob, I'll tell you what often gets overlooked. The garden fence. I swapped me bed for a trampoline. Oh, man, the wife nearly hit the roof. One Peter Beasley, there's only one Peter Beasley. I'll see you, Bob.
I'll see you, Peter. Thanks for that, Paddy Pimlet. Nice. You know him?
I'm not familiar. I can't be down with all that MMA, whatever it's called, UFC, KFC. It's just fighting, isn't it? It's just fighting, but like pub fighting, is it not?
It's like... My sons have got me into it a bit. You know, I think there is some skills involved. But, yeah, they're having a fight. But to be honest with you, whenever you watch the boxing, you just want them to have a proper fight, don't you?
Yeah, but at least there's, like, they don't wear gloves, do they? It's fucking bare-knuckle fighting, isn't it?
It's more like they've got tiny little, like, those gloves with where your fingers go through the holes.
Like fingerless gloves.
Fingerless gloves, yeah.
It doesn't feel as though that's... maybe it's just me. It's just... It's age. I'm getting old, you know. Yeah. Certain things I used to enjoy, I don't enjoy anymore. But soon enough,
you'll be in the garden like me and Peter, just staring at the flowers and that.
Pretty much, it's heading that way, isn't it? Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, shall we have some questions from the Parsnippers?
Yeah, why not? There were some nice questions this week.
Here's one from Colin Booth. Bob and Andy, I'm after some freezer advice. Me and the missus have got an integrated four drawer Zanussi freezer. Every 6 months or so, the frost gathers so much the drawers and door won't shut. Is there any way of preventing this, or is it just a case of periodically chipping away at it with our lass's brass hand? I used to have similar issues. I can't remember the Hisense, that was what it was.
Yeah.
The last fridge freezer was a Hisense, and it wasn't expensive. It was budget range, but I had the same thing. And it was supposed to be frost-free, but I ended up having to hack away at it with the wooden spoon every few months.
Wooden spoon? I hacked away at mine yesterday with a carving knife. But if he had come to me earlier, or you had, Andy, I'd have advised you against a draw freezer.
Really?
Well, they are a problem. You do get a lot of ice build up, and you're taking up more space than you might think just by the very fact of having drawers. So I've got, I've just recently returned to just a chest one, you know, that's just a hole. You open the lid at the top and just drop it in. And you get that fun of scurrying around a few months later and finding what's in there, you know. That's good fun.
I had a chest freezer in the garage, but I've got rid of it last week because I'm not using it.
Might regret that.
I don't think so. I'll tell you what, I mean, this makes me sound like a good person, but I gave it away to the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen.
Rightio.
Who operate in Sunderland. I messaged them and said, would they be interested? And they would. And do you know what they're going to store in it?
Don't know.
Pies.
Oh, man.
So that feels
that
like
is
I've
something
done some
to be
good.
Proud of, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. And they've offered me some free pies once they start doing the pies in a week or two. So that's
I thought win-win, there'd be something in
win-win.
It for
win-win.
You. So you've increased the pie storage capacity of the Sunderland area. I applaud you,
I have,
Andy.
Single-handedly, yeah.
Ben Clarkson asks, have you two followed the popular modern transition to shower gel, or do you remain traditional soap users? I fucking hate shower gel, me.
Do you?
Yeah, I think that could be a catchphrase, couldn't it? Oh, I fucking hate shower gel, me. No, but I can't stand it. I don't really know what you're meant to do with it. It slips out your hand. It just goes down the plug hole, basically.
Rub it over your dirty little body, and then it lathers up.
Do you use a sponge or something?
No, you just use your hands.
Nah, that don't. Well, you use about half a bottle. The size of your body.
Well, I don't use shower. I get hosed down by the council once every fortnight.
I'm a soap man. I'm a soap man. Do you remember Imperial Leather? I use Dove.
I use Dove as well.
A little block of Dove, I'm thinking it probably lasts me like 2 months. Maybe. I think so,
It lathers up beautifully, the Dove,
doesn't it?
Say. Jesus. Anyway, Andrew Muckle says, mathematics invention or discovery? ?
Well, I don't really. I think it's best to. It's a bit more akin to witchcraft, isn't it? I don't know what's going on with mathematics. What does he say? Invention?
Invention or discovery? I think it's a discovery. I think it's always been there, but, you know, humankind has eked it out like a tin miner, almost, digging it out of the ground.
More numbers, more brackets.
You know, in them films where you see the numbers and the mathematics symbols going around a mathematician's head?
Yeah.
Like in a cloud as he's working stuff out. That's mathematics.
Mathematics never appealed to me, to be honest with you. Some people find it magical, don't they?
Yeah, but you're quite a simple-minded man, though, aren't you?
True. So. Yeah, no, I've got quite a woolly mind. But also, and I know my wife was the same, the maths teachers tended to be the bastard in our school, my school, all my schooling. I remember Black Mac was the one in the sixth one. Scary character, so I avoided it like the plague.
Yeah. Early maths teacher we had at Comprehensive, his nickname was Horse Knackers.
Right.
And he was quite a nasty man as well, yeah. But,
so that's what turned me off to the mathematics.
Can't go back, can you? Matthew Phillips just says, could one or both of you call me a stupid fucking prick, please?
Yeah, well, Matthew, you're a stupid fucking prick. What do you think, Andrew?
I also think Matthew is a stupid fucking prick.
Now, you put a bit of feeling into that. Have you met Matthew?
No, but I had a lot of that when we did our live shows, people calling me a shit from the front row, so I just felt like I needed to give some back.
Jamie Rosenfeld says, would you rather look at an elephant up close, 1 metre away, or pet a goat? They're both quite appealing, but I'd like to sit under a horse and stare up at its guts. I know that wasn't one of the choices. That's what I'd like to do. Goats have got square irises, haven't they?
Do they?
Always spooks me a bit, so I'd rather look at an elephant up close.
I'd be close up to an elephant, because it's just a metre away. Fascinating, yeah. We'll meet some more of them a bit later on. We might not. It's hard to tell.
What would you say, Andy, to a calorie quiz? I haven't done one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this, you know, I like it because there's some takeaway. You know, people might think about the calorie intakes after listening to one of our quizzes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Boing Crunch Tasty
Peanuts!
Thwack Clang Bucket. Dying eek. Give me just a little more time. And I want you to order these, Andy, in highest to lowest calorific content, yeah?
Yeah.
Or the other way around. It's the McDonald Big Tasty with bacon.
Mm-hmm.
The KFC Mighty Bucket for one. A Doner Kebab regular size.
Ooh, there now. I think that, calorifically speaking, does the burger come as part of a meal or is it just on its own?
No, it's a McTasty burger with bacon.
With bacon on its own. That has got the least number of calories.
Okay.
The Doner Kebab is in the middle and the Mighty Bucket for one has the most calories.
Andrew, you've done it.
Oh!
You know your intake.
There's an area that I know all about. Thank you very much. Very good.
But Mighty Bucket for one, 1,235 calories. Doner Kebab regular size, 1,006. Big Tasty with bacon, 850.
Hang on, what was the KFC one? How many?
The KFC Mighty Bucket for one was 1,235.
Was that what I said was the highest? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. You've done good, right. Man. You've done good. You should be very, very proud of yourself.
Oh, can you tell that to the steward at the shopping centre? You passed that on?
I'll pass it on, yeah.
Might help. It might help. I don't know.
Dear steward, today Andrew correctly guessed the calorific value of kebabs, chicken and mac for your consideration.
Can he maybe have a day pass? Midweek. I've had a... an MP3 from the Secret Soccer Superstar. Do you remember him?
Ooh, yeah.
We still don't know who he is.
Still don't know who he is.
He masks his voice, but he gives us some insight on the world of football. So we'll play that. And you maybe guess at the end who you think he might be.
I'll give it a go, yeah.
Here we go.
It's always difficult when a new manager arrives at your club. The most important thing is that everyone becomes good friends really quickly. Sometimes the new manager tries to get everyone in the squad to become his friend by taking them on some kind of outing, especially if the weather's nice. I remember one manager at a club I played for who took us all to a visitor farm for the day. We got to see some chicks that had just hatched. We all laughed our heads off when the physio got spat on by a llama. And we all got £5 each to spend in the gift shop. It wasn't all fun, though. We were feeding some pellets to the goats, and of course you're supposed to do it with a flat hand, but the goalkeeper didn't. We were all shouting, "Flat hand! Flat hand!" And the goat got scared and bit his fingertip off and he was out for 4 months while it grew back.
There.
Who is that? I mean, he's northeastern, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Not Grant Ledbetter, is it?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know, Andy. So why do you want me to guess?
Well, I don't know. I hope it's not like a hoax, like Wayside Jack was.
It is
actually from Yorkshire instead, but I don't know how that works.
Did they catch Wayside Jack? They did, didn't they?
They caught him on a DNA thing about 20 years later, and he did time for it. And
I bet he
died.
Yeah, that were bad, wasn't it? That was a bad
really
jab.
Naughty. Really naughty.
There was an episode of Martin's radio show, Martin from Home Under the Hammers, this week on the radio. So I taped a bit of it because it was a bloody good show. And it was a bloody good one. You know, where he noses around the homes of the rich and famous. Do you want to hear it, Andy?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. OK, let me just press the play on this one. You join me today outside a huge, somewhat gothic mansion set in what looks like over 40 acres of manicured parkland. Whoever lives here must be worth a bob or two. Let's knock on the door and see if anyone is at home.
Hello, what do you want? Who are you? And did you shut the massive gates before you came down the massive drive?
It is, of course. It's Mr. Sting. Hello, Sting. And I must say, what a beautiful house you have. A bit OTT, but I like it. So, can I come in?
Are you homeless? You look it. Well, you can't live here, if that's what you're thinking. I have 24-hour security provided by Geordie Heat, and they will remove you and take you away in their squad car at my command, for I am Sting, the Lord of the Loot.
Lord of the Loot, that's an unusual nomica, but do you know what? I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it. That, no, I'm not homeless, by the way. I've got a van, and I live in it, and I have a shower at me mam's every Sunday. It's me, Martin, from Homes Under the Hammer. Trudy said we could go and do a tour for the radio.
Oh, bloody Trudy, she never tells me nout. I'm meant to be writing songs today. Well, I suppose you had better come in.
So this must be the grand entrance hall. It's a double-height ceiling with large mullion windows overlooking the staircase. The walls are adorned with medieval instruments and a lot of different-sized letter C's. What are the C's for, Sting?
Sailing ships in? Ha, 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 ha. Gets people every time, that does.
How unusual is that? A wall-mounted visual joke that requires a verbal punchline. Very unusual, but I do like it. Quite thick carpeting you have, I hear, Sting. You have here, Sting. Why is that?
What, in case I drop my loot mid-song to dampen the sound when Trudy is stomping about trying to find her yoga mats and thinking sticks and mood ointments.
So, we're now walking in to what looks like a music studio. Tell me, what am I looking at, Sting?
Oh, right. Well, it's mainly electric carrying wires and consoles from NASA spacecraft and also lots of fucking soundproofing panels because Trudy hates hearing the sound when I play me lutes and dulcimers and Moroccan footbells and... Hold on. Have you been eating doner kebab?
Yes, I had two or three last night. So, is this where you come for inspiration when you've been told you have to write a song?
Yes, it is. And I also come in here if I want to smoke a tab or eat a great big massive fucking cream cake. Would you like to hear a song I've been working on?
Is it a loot piece?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
So what was that, you cheeky bastard?
Nothing, Sting. I would love to hear it.
Oh, great. Right, here you go. Lovely. Right, have a seat on that day bed.
Oh, a bed for the day, but it's for... Oh, a bed, but it's for the daytime only. That's very unusual, but I do like it.
Right. Shut your fucking mouth. Here goes. Oh, Mr. Sting was wandering around his massive halls. Judy was down the shop so he could play his music loud, strumming on his lute and enjoying every note. And then he was interrupted by a hedgehog wearing a coat. Oh, Mr. Sting, oh, Mr. Sting, tiddly riddly rum. Yes, Mr. Sting, it's Mr. Sting. 6, 7, 9, 8, hedge.
Sorry, Mr. Sting, could I just stop you there? It's that, to be honest, that's a very unusual music. And the truth is, I just don't like it. I'd rather listen to a duck quacking inside a sack of crabs.
You cheeky bastard. Get out of my massive house before I call Geordie Heat on you. How dare you insult my wonderful music? Go on, get the fuck out.
Fine by me, you fucker. I bet you wouldn't play that shit if Trudy was home.
Yes, I would. At least I don't look like a fucking fat broom. I smell like John McCrillick's bog brush.
This whole house stinks. What's it built of? Fucking dog shit.
I bet your van hasn't even got an MOT, you slack bastard.
I bet you can't even fucking drive, you dozy prick.
Get out, you big fancy fucking duck.
Don't worry, I'm going.
And he slammed the door, and that was that. Right, little Barney, that wasn't it.
Oh, I think that might be one of my favourite moments of this entire endeavour that we've been doing for 6 years. Oh, it was wonderful. Just to relax people a little bit more, the waiter from Slaughter's has done another one of his...
Oh, lovely.
Was it ASMR?
ASMR, something like that.
Something like that, and it's meant to relax people. So I'll play that.
Lightly infected puffin' lips surfed cheekily on one of Ron's used bandages. Kebab of kangaroo triceps that have nailed to a rack before being gently tickled with an industrial blowtorch. Peacock kidneys served on a bed of noodles made from boiled ear pear. A massive ball of ox dripping. Boiled up gastric juices of a panther with some fruit flies scattered on top.
There we are. There we are.
Oh.
Off we go.
Sorry, I missed it. Fell asleep.
Yeah.
Been watching much telly?
Can't remember. Oh, I started watching a thing about the Playboy Mansion.
Any good?
And Hugh Hefner and that. Well, it's probably going to get a bit grim, but I'm only in the first episode, but it's interesting. But yeah, that'll probably be quite grim. I watched a thing, it's sticking with the whole grim theme, a thing about a knife death in Cheshire called Killed by a Rich Kid.
Oh, I think I watched that.
Yeah.
Yeah, was, that was it satisfying? I'm not sure.
Well,
you know,
I don't
want to
give any spoilers
no
away, but it was interesting, but at the same time, I didn't really find... Satisfying's probably not the right word. But
yeah, it's watchable, Andy, isn't it? But because you kind of, it's clear from about the second minute what's happened.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, I'm watching, football mainly, but I even watched Glentoran last night.
Wow.
So desperate for some football. but on is it Thursdays, I think, or maybe it's, I think it's Thursdays. I do watch Dragon Den and The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah. Been watching The Apprentice with my son.
It's good, isn't it? I like watching Tuca on Dragon's Den.
I haven't watched Dragon's Den for a long time.
It's quite good. There's a great new bloke on it called Stephen, who's like young and hip and marketing and, you know, completely different generation to Tuca.
Yeah.
And they have the odd Barney now. And I also like imagining that none of the contestants actually want Tuca to invest in them. And that adds a bit. Oh, my main thing I'm enjoying, Andrew, is on YouTube. It's James Higgins Open World.
Right. Explain.
It's, I think he's from the northwest somewhere, Northwich or something. He reviews food, toilet cleaners, anything he can get his hand on.
I like this.
But if you want to, the place I would start at is I would go back quite a bit, and every Monday he does Bargains of the Week.
Right.
From Asda, Morrison's, B&M, Foods, you know, and Andy's fantastic because he does them in about a minute. So he goes, right, I'm trying this peanut butter biscuits from Asda. There you go. Right, let's try that. It's a disaster. 3 out of 10. Thank you for watching. But his Bargains of the Week, that's a bloody bargain. He's got his phone in the supermarket. Look at that, bachelor's rice, 69p. That's a bloody bargain. I'm having some of that. You might enjoy him. He's worth a look.
I think I will. That's it from this,
It's been a pleasure.
It has. Thank you, Parsnippers.
Thank you, Parsnippers, for your approach.
Indulgence.
And your generosity. So, see you next time.
Thank you. Goodbye.
most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.